Welcome Fairhope Mayor Sherry Sullivan and to the studio with us this morning, as is customary, the second and fourth Tuesday following Fairhope City Council meetings. Thank you so much for your time, Mayor. Good morning.
Good morning, Lori. Thank you for having me here.
You're very welcome. Let's just start with the big news and the appointment of former Councilman Jay Robinson back to Fairhope City Council to replace Robert Brown in place four. Were you pleased with that decision?
I was. You know, obviously, I've known Jay for a long time. Was really looking forward to the possibility of working with him when he decided not to run for council. So, yes, obviously, you know, Jay said it best last night. You know, Robert's irreplaceable. Robert was such a great council member, but I'm glad to have Jay back, glad to have his knowledge, and just somebody who can really, there's no learning curve for him. He can just really jump in and, and get to work.
What changed his mind? Do you know?
Well, I think part of it was, you know, he mentioned this last night, in July when you have to make the decision to run to qualify, I mean, there were some challenges for their family. Obviously, they were about to have their fourth child. You know, he's has a busy job and just did not know how that was going to, you know, how the dynamic of having another child was going to be for their family. You know, he addressed the fact that his wife had had some health issues in the past and he wanted to make sure that this was a healthy pregnancy for her. And, you know, that it was something that their family could handle. And he said, now, you know, we're 5 months in with a newborn. He said, my wife's doing well. She's healthy. My job's going great. And I have a healthy baby girl at home. And he said, you know, we've done a good job of finding that, you know, life, work, home balance. And he said, you know, he really missed being at the city and being a city councilman and a public servant. And he said, you know, it's something that we discussed and thought that, you know, we could do it. But in July, he wasn't ready to make that decision. So,
and it was a unanimous vote last night.
It was.
Okay. And before the meeting, that was the first item on the agenda, but let's go backwards to the work session. Jack Burrell and I didn't really mention much about this yesterday. The presentation of the Fairhope Junior City Council. Tell us about that.
So when I took office, the Junior City Council had been established in the past term, mayor's term, and, you know, something that I really always had a passion for was engaging youth in government. So I was glad to have the Junior City Council, but knew that they probably needed to be, you know, have a little bit more organization. So I worked with Jessica Walker at the city to really pull her in and say, you know, let's pull them in, let's talk about their bylaws, let's teach them the processes of government and how things work. So that's what we've done. Jessica's been a great help in pulling them in. We've gone through their bylaws, which we did last night with the city council, talked about how those students are selected, who they are, you know, what they represent, and had them do the presentation of their bylaws to the city council. Also had them do a presentation of a project that they would like to do, which is painting those stairs that are right there by the fire hall in Henry George Park. Those stairs, they would like to do an art project on those stairs. So they made a presentation to the city council last night, and that will be on the next agenda as a resolution to allow them to expend the funds and do that art project there in the park. And since the city council has to approve that, I thought it was a great opportunity for them. The other thing that we're teaching them is about, you know, the processes of government, how social media works. They've been able to maintain their own social media. They haven't been able to, when they have their meetings, they don't public notice their meetings, but having them work with Lisa Hanks to public notice their meetings, just really want them to understand when you work for government or when you're on a city council, there's rules that you have to follow. We've had them do the ethics. We're going to have them do the ethics training, you know, some of that kind of stuff, so they can really understand, like I said, the processes.
Grooming the leaders of tomorrow.
That's right.
All right. That sounds good. Item number two in the work session was a discussion of a living memorial dedicated to those and their families who serve to protect our safety and freedom.
Right. So Bob Wetlick had presented this project a couple years ago, and it's a large, about a 6-foot bronze eagle holding a flag that he really wanted to do something to, again, to honor those who protect our safety and freedoms, which he said, you know, would be police, fire, healthcare workers, especially now and, you know, with the pandemic. He really wanted to do something to recognize those folks. And so he made a presentation several years ago, but revisited that in the past several months, and we'll place that on the campus of the police department in some location. But he's willing to raise the funds for it and make sure it gets constructed and place it there. So we're really excited to be able to do that. I think the city council was pretty favorable towards that, as long as he's going to you know, raise the funds for the for the art piece.
Okay, so no expense to the city, just an honor to those who serve.
Okay. Yes.
And Jack did mention the temporary horticulturist position for the Public Works Department, and said that that's to train to fill in for someone retiring.
Right. So Paul Merchant, who is our horticulturist and landscape supervisor, is actually retiring after 30 years.
Oh no! So you you've lost Bubba Bosarge and Paul Merchant. Yes. That must be an adjustment.
It is going to be a huge adjustment. And those, you know, when you lose that institutional knowledge. And, you know, two employees like that, especially, you know, both of them are great, but Paul, because what he does is so visual and so important to Fairhope, you know, the beautification program, that you really need that overlap in employees. So really thankful that Richard Johnson and Paul, you know, went the extra mile to put together a job description for a temporary horticulturist, somebody who can shadow Paul, and then as soon as Paul retires, then they would roll into his position, and that position would be defunded. But really need somebody that, you know, you can groom.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, they can have all the education, you know, that they need. They can fill the qualifications of the position. But somebody in to have the passion that Paul does for the flowers, to understand what that branding means to Fairhope.
And do it the way we do it.
Right. So
was it a current employee that has served under Paul? And
well, we just approved the job description.
I see. Okay.
So, and then we'll advertise.
I got it. Yes. Okay. All right. So now we're on to the agenda. We mentioned in the beginning, if you missed it, a unanimous approval and appointment of Jay Robinson to take place for Robert Brown, who recently resigned, not amid any controversy, an opportunity to, right, if I understand it correctly, to actually move to the waterfront and with his parents' property, and you got to live in the city limits.
Correct.
There's not a place location, however. I know that can be confusing sometimes, because we have places, but...
Right, it's not districts.
Right, anywhere on the city limit,
yeah.
Number seven, the final adoption. So the gas and trash collection fees were increased.
They were.
And what, from $15.80 to $20?
Mm-hmm, for residential.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's keeping the twice-a-week service.
Correct.
And as we've mentioned here before, you're getting four weekly services for $20 a month, right?
You're getting garbage twice a week, mm-hmm, you're getting trash and leaf and limb debris once a week, and you're getting recycling once a week.
Right.
So it's a bargain.
That's
a bargain.
It is. The Fairhope Airport Authority Improvement Refunding Bond, mm-hmm, is number eight. And mm-hmm, then there was number 19, hiring a consultant for the airport as well. Jack indicated that this could be a step to wean the Airport Authority off of the city.
That's correct. And that's been the ultimate goal all along, was because we do an appropriation and secure their debt. So, yes, this is a step forward in hopefully removing them from the city's payroll.
And in the past, that has been maybe a bone of contention for some, what the airport costs the city annually, which is about what? I hate to pull a number off of
mind. I would have to go back and pull my budget, to be honest, to tell you that. I wouldn't want to quote a wrong number.
But it like we said, it is a way to...
It's over $300,000. So,
have it operate independently.
I want to say it's $380, but I wouldn't want to,
misquote. And my mind was thinking $400.
Yeah,
so
I don't want to misquote.
I think the big thing, though, I'm excited about and proud of with our city is number 18. The city's going to spend between $31,000 and $50,000 to have its own public works department fix and repair and replace the utilities at the Fairhope Pier.
Right.
Because the original bid was astronomical and rejected.
Right.
Fill us in.
Right. So, you know, that's been a huge social media topic, is the reestablishing those utilities down at the pier. And, you know, I just want to make sure everybody understands that's not something that we have been ignoring by any means. The first bid that we put out was in December to be able to do that, because, as everybody knows, when Zeta came through, Fairhope or Baldwin County was not declared a disaster area.
And so, that is to no fault of any leaders. You've all have tried.
Right, we have tried. And there's still a small possibility it could happen. I mean, I know they're working on it, but because the waterfront was really the main target of Zeta.
those of us up on land, it was like, what's the big deal? Right. Sally's the one that tore us up. But Zeta did affect a lot of the
waterfront. Mm-hmm. Correct. So in December, we put out a bid to have those utilities reestablished and to have a utility tray placed. If you're looking at the pier, if you look down on the side, there's some brackets there down on the right that you can see. There's a small box that has fiber in it, and then there's an area for a larger box where the other utilities will be run. So that's what we were looking at, but that bid came in at $260,000, a little over $260,000. And so we knew that was just an astronomical price, and it was not something we were going to be able to do. And there was only one bidder after we had sent out quite a few bids. Mm-hmm. So we rejected that bid and bid again. And the second time we bid, the first time was no bid. The second time was the $260,000. The third time that we bid, we actually pulled the utility tray out, saying we would purchase that ourselves and just hire somebody to do the work. And then that bid came in at $152,000, and then you have to buy the utility tray, so you're still back at $200,000. So we pulled together everybody. You know, we got down to the pier with all the utilities and public works and said, okay, can we do this ourselves? How can we do this? And so basically the utility superintendent, specifically Jason Langley and Richard Johnson, public works director, got together and said, okay, let's come up with a plan. And that's what they did. And they said, you know, we think we can do this. Granted, our workforce is busy. Everybody can see around town all the things that are going on,
so
all the projects.
Pull them off.
It will.
Of
It'll
other
pull them
projects.
Off something else. But they're willing to do this, and I'm just so thankful that they are. And it's going to make a huge difference in that money savings. And these are the kind of projects that some of our employees really take pride in doing because they know the impact that it has on our community. So I'm just really thankful that they're willing to do it.
And I appreciate the fiscal responsibility very much. So. Let's see, number 20, we're renting the pool out to someone that's going to be teaching classes. I don't really see anything else unless you want to mention anything.
There really was nothing that came up that was, too controversial or anything that was discussed very much. We did do an airport authority appointment. Mr. Lee Shelton was appointed to the airport authority, and there were three reappointments. Jack Burrell was reappointed as the council liaison. Vince Booth and Chip Groner, who are currently on the airport authority, were reappointed. So glad to get a full slate of folks, on the airport authority as well.
And I'm glad you mentioned that because we have the airport authority is a bit different than other committees, but the city has lots of committees, and you're always inviting residents to apply if they're interested.
Right. And you can go online, and there's an application for board appointment, and you can see all of our committees there, from anything from historic preservation to the tree committee to, just a wide variety. Recycling committee, bike and ped committee. So if you're interested in serving any of those, I would encourage you to fill out an application.
I forgot to ask Jack about this, but I got a notice of a special board meeting Friday that would have been held Friday for the Fairhope Library Board, and it had something to do with financial matters.
Right.
Can you tell us about that?
Jimmy Conyers is our council liaison, and he did not. He was out of town that day and was not able to attend, out of town for work. So, and I have not received an update on that.
Okay, all right. Were you or the city as a whole surprised that the governor and the state health officer extended the mask ordinance?
I don't think that I was surprised that they extended it. I think they're, just being conservative and wanting to make sure that we are getting more and more people vaccinated before they lift that mandate. You know, she did make it clear that this would be the last extension. So on April 9th, I do expect it to expire. I was also thankful that she lifted some of the restrictions on senior centers because that population just really needs that social interaction. So I think it's important for those folks to get back to seeing their friends and doing things that they enjoy doing for their mental health. So
we all need that social interaction, don't we?
But specifically that senior population, I think it's easy for them to get depressed. So I was glad to see that. But no, I wasn't surprised, but happy that this will be the last extension and that hopefully more people will be vaccinated and we can start getting things somewhat back to normal.
The city worked with some healthcare providers, Thomas, or the infirmary, as well as Three Circle Church, and had two vaccine clinics. Do you see another one coming in the future? There's still frustration out there of being able to get one.
Well, I do see some neighborhood clinics. Matter of fact, we met last week with Infirmary Health and with at Rotary Youth Club to do some neighborhood clinics to be able to reach out to those neighborhoods where people aren't getting vaccinated. So I do expect to see some more vaccine clinics pop up, probably not to that magnitude. The large one that we did at Three Circle, that was 1,500 vaccinations. So, but yes, I do expect more and more of those to happen. And again, I think you'll start seeing the pharmacies open up. I know this morning, and you have to kind of watch it, this morning I was able to get online and actually woke up really early this morning at 3 o'clock to check online, and then my sister texted me at 6 and said, hey, they just opened some vaccines. So I was able to get my mom scheduled at a local Walmart because she has not had her vaccine either. You know, it's hard for people who can't wait in line for long periods of time, and my mom's one of those people. So
exactly,
I was glad to be able to get her a appointment.
And the Alabama Department of Public Health has is directing everyone to that online portal. Is that
right.
What you were talking
about? Well, I just went straight to the Walmart.
Did you? Okay.
Walmart or CVS is who I've kind of been monitoring because, and I know Johnson & Johnson is supposed to be sending some more vaccines in. I think CVS is getting the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. So I think for people who can look online or are comfortable doing that, I think that's kind of the way to go, just kind of watch those websites. But I do think vaccines will become more and more readily available.
Yes, yes. And as you mentioned, go directly to the website of your local drugstore or the Alabama Department of Public Health has an online portal where you can make an appointment and also see where vaccines are available.
Right.
We have that on our Facebook page. You can also go to alabamapublichealth.gov for more information.
The other thing, Lori, I was going to mention is, you know, Infirmary Health and USA have both reached out. We are actually working on getting our employees vaccinated, especially those essential employees, people that have to, you know, do their job, like the sanitation workers, the wastewater treatment plant operators, gas employees, the electric department. You know, they have not been essential employees until recently. So during a hurricane, they're all essential.
Right.
But during
a
pandemic,
right,
they weren't classified yet. So they've just become available. So we're hoping to get all our folks vaccinated pretty quickly.
Good. Very good. Does that include mayors?
Well, I like to think I'm essential, but
of course you are. So the mask ordinance, or the extension of the Safer at Home ordinance, I should say, order, will not really affect the Arts and Crafts Festival. Folks just need to wear masks.
That's right.
But the festival is still set for April 30th, May 1st, and 2nd.
Right. And again, I will remind people that we are going with the, you know, the scaled down festival that we had originally planned. That will be only half the artists that we've had in the past. We're right at 100 artists. We're still going to do the social distancing. There are still some things we're not doing, like the entertainment stage or the artist dinner. So we don't encourage those large gatherings. Obviously, the mask mandate will have expired by then, but we will have masks available for people by April the 9th. Because it's April 30th.
Oh, that's right, April 30th.
Yeah. But we will have masks available, and we encourage you, if that's what you feel comfortable doing, to please wear your mask. And again, we'll have them available, but you know, we will have enough space between the booths to allow people to social distance, depending on what the crowds look like. But I think it's people are going to be ready to get out. I think it's going to be a great festival for us.
Good. And
yes.
Mark and I had this argument on the radio recently on Swap Shop, because I presumed the lights on the trees would stay up through the festival, as is traditional when the festival is the third weekend in March, but they can't stay up apparently because of tree growth. It could inhibit and cause a problem.
Right, you would start pulling all the leaves off and the buds and everything, so you have to remove those lights. But yeah, it's going to be weird. You know, the artists are so used to coming to town and the lights being in the trees, but again, it's, you know, you'll have daylight savings time, and you know, so it'll be lighter a little bit longer, and but yes, the lights will not be in the trees during Arts and Crafts.
No,
unfortunately.
Is there anything else you'd like to mention, Sherry, that I have not thought to ask?
The only thing, there was two things I did want to mention. One part, we recognized a couple people last night One was Joe McInerney, who is the chair of the Airport Authority. He's been on the Airport Authority for 16 years. He's been the chair for the past 5 years, and his term expires in March. So we recognized him last night for his years of service to the airport and the Airport Authority, and just appreciate what Joe has done in his leadership for that. But 16 years is a long time to serve, so he's really got to have a passion for the airport and Fairhope to do that.
16 years. So
as a volunteer, 16 years.
That's impressive.
Yes. And then also Kim Burmeister, one of our code enforcement officers, was recently recognized by Mobile Bay Monthly as one of the environmental warriors for our community. So Kim just does such a great job here in Fairhope and just has such a passion for our environment. So we're lucky to have her and thankful that Mobile Bay Monthly recognized her and her efforts.
I saw that online. So congratulations to Kim and to Joe both. Very good. Thank you as usual for your time. Fairhope Mayor Sherry Wilson, Sherry Sullivan, joining us the second and fourth Tuesday of each month at approximately 8:20 for our community contact interview program. If you can't stick around to hear all of it, or you want to tell a friend, you can listen later, usually by lunchtime. It's posted on our new website, wabf1480.com, wabf1480.com.